going to introduce the guest speaker this morning. Had the privilege of the last few days hanging out with him. You know, I always was thinking about this. How do you pronounce this well or share well? You don't want to say like an ex-boss. You know, that sounds bad, right? It's like, ooh, that doesn't sound like a good relationship. Or, you know, former mentor. That's a good one, right? And so in Bethany Church, where I was in Whitehorse for 17 years, the lead pastor was Joel and Rhonda Nettleton that are here this morning. I was the associate pastor under them and had wonderful, wonderful memories and times with them. And just a few snapshot things. You'll probably share some of this, but been in the ministry for 45 years. Yeah, that's worth celebrating. I know when I say this, you're like, oh, man, this feels old. Married for 42 years. So that's excellent. Yes. I don't know. What's better, the ministry or being married? Come on. We're like, oh, it's okay, you know. Served in Bethany Church in Whitehorse, probably the longest standing pastor, definitely on the western side of the world. I don't know about Ontario, but in the PEOC, 33 years in one church. Still going. Yeah, that's worth celebrating this morning. So just a quick snapshot. So got into the ministry, Vancouver, on the streets of Hastings, doing some teen challenge. Moved over to Victoria, took a church, helped oversee Nanoose Bay Camp on Vancouver Island for many years there, and then got transported way, way north to the North Pole, up to Whitehorse, and you served there for 33 years. And that's where I had the privilege of working with you. And before I bring you up, I feel like mentioning the fact that it was so good all those years. And I feel like as you mentored me, and as we stand here today, that because of your mentorship and guidance to me, then imagery seems to me like all the people that I impact and touch are because of, obviously, God, first of all. Let's not throw him out of the picture, but because of your obedience and your service. And so I thank you so much for those 7 years. They were wonderful years. And it was really hard to leave, but I love these people, and this is where God wants me. So, Joel, would you come up this morning and share the word with us?
Am I good, Red? Oh, I'm on. Rob, you're way too nice.
Yeah.
You're no too nice for me. Love you. I come up here, you're wondering, how old is this guy anyway? Oh, man, that sounded bad. Like, in the ministry for 45 years, long years. And, yeah, get pretty worn out. And then you're married that long. But actually, it's just been great just meeting a few of you people in the time we just kind of hung around here this morning. Realize that you guys are just really normal people, just regular normal people. This is a good thing. I like that. Because me and my wife, we're just normal, regular people. We're not, you know, big stuff. We're not superstars or anything. My wife came from Saskatchewan. I came from Alberta. And so, you know, pretty soon we'll realize that that's another country. And just think of that, eh? You know, somebody moves in from Alberta and you say, oh, have you got your immigration papers done yet? You know, come into BC. That's going to be really interesting. Anyway, we're from the Yukon up in Whitehorse. And Andy, what are you doing here? You just come to keep an eye on me. My Lord. We lost a wonderful family. We lost Rob and Amelie from the Yukon. And everybody said to send their love to them. And we really miss them. And you know, the longer they're away, the more I realize the things that Rob did ministry-wise. Up in the north, he certainly is not afraid of the cold weather up there, that's for sure. And he went a lot further north than I did. I have not yet been to Inuvik, and I have not been to Tuck. He has been several times and gone up there. And did you go whale hunting with Pastor Emmanuel? Huh?
Unsuccessfully.
But you did. You went hunting with him. That's just, you know, this is a very cool thing. And so he's done some very cool things up the north, and he got hooked on fishing. Some of you know that. And he's a fishing fanatic. I think God is still first. I'm not sure if his wife is before that, but fishing is very important to him now, and he is very good at that. And, you know, for a guy who came up there, and at first he was just beating me in tennis. We played a lot of tennis, but then he learned how to fish, and then he just didn't seem to have time for anything but fishing. But I know that you guys are just really blessed with him being here, and he'll have a wonderful time. I know that he's in good hands with this church. I remember years ago, you used to have a pastor named John Kaplan. Was he here? Yeah. And I talked to John. He went into district office. I have no idea why you do that, but why anybody ever goes in district office. But he went into district office, and I asked him, I said, John, so how do you like serving in district office? He said, oh, Joel, he says, I miss Terrace. He says, I miss that church. I miss my family. And I said, oh, well, what's that all about? And he says, oh, he says, I just don't have church family anymore, you know, and I miss. And he named off a whole bunch of things. And anyway, I prayed for him and tried to cheer him up. But I don't think that worked. But I know that you're a good church, and I really am glad that Rob and Amelie and their family are with you guys, and you're going to have a great time. You're going to have good things. God's going to do good things, and we're believing God for that. I want to speak this morning on one of my favorite subjects, which is the Holy Spirit. I just love the subject of the Holy Spirit. When I was in Bible school, obviously, it was my favorite subject. Back then, it was called pneumatology, which sounds like something to do with air tools. Well, it actually has something to do with air tools, because it's the Spirit moving, and it's a tool that God has gifted his church. So I want to talk this morning about something that is very important, a very important part of the Holy Spirit study, and that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So pretty exciting. We're going to pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the truth. And we know that the truth will set us free. And I just pray that, Lord, we would understand, Lord, that which you have gifted the church, and we would want to receive it in a deeper way, in a fuller way this morning, Lord. Just open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears, and our spirits to receive more of you, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that it's just really exciting what God is doing today, and he's doing great things and exciting things, I know, here and in the Yukon. What's really clear to me is that there's so much more that God has for us, and it seems at times as if it's happening, it's there. God is alive, and he's real, and he's doing powerful things, and many times we miss them. We get busy. We get on our iPhones, we get going to work, and we miss the powerful things of God. But once in a while, he just wakes us up and we say, wow, God, you're so alive and you're so real and you're still doing great things. Just before we came up here, I went in Whitehorse down to a tool place that sells heavy-duty tools and steel and things like that, Ajax steel. Anyway, I went in there, and I walked in the door to pick something up, and this guy behind the counter recognized me. Hey, Pastor Joel, how you doing, Pastor Joel? Real loud, you know, and all the other guys in there listening. And I'm thinking, whoa, man, okay, this is quite an entry. And I'm not your pastor, because this guy goes to a Baptist church, but he calls me Pastor Joel. And he says, I got to tell you something. He took me aside, and he said, you know, he says, one of the guys I work with just happened a couple of days ago. His wife went into a diabetic coma, and he said she went into a diabetic coma and had to be flown down to Vancouver. And I asked this guy, I said, well, is this a Christian guy? And he says, well, I'm not sure. He believes in God. So this guy was really upset and worried about his wife, so he phoned his mother down, she lived around Vancouver, and he said, Mom, this is what's going on with my wife. This is really bad. And she was getting concerned. He said, we should pray. They prayed on the phone. And they prayed together that she'd be okay and she'd come out of this coma. They were really concerned. And then he got a call just a few hours later. He got a call from the doctor where somebody down in the hospital said, you need to come down to your wife right now. She's fine. She came out of the coma. He flew down there. He goes into the hospital. He sees his wife, and he says, when did you come out of the coma? And she says, the exact time that he had prayed with his mother on the phone for her to come out of the coma. She came out of the coma. And he said to her, so what happened? And she says, well, it was just all darkness. I was just out of it. And I heard a voice. And the voice said, wake up. Wake up. And she said, I woke up.
Hallelujah.
You know, and I believe that God is saying, wake up. And his people are going to wake up. And there are people waking up as God speaks. And then darkness, and there's nothing happening. And it seems like there's a lot of people in a spiritual coma right now. But the voice of God is speaking, and he says, wake up. And his people hear his voice, and they wake up. And just like Lazarus, Jesus spoke to him and he said, Lazarus, wake up, come forth. And he came forth. Hallelujah. And we're going to come forth. Amen. I love to tell stories. And when you start telling stories, you get distracted. So I've got to be careful how many stories I tell this morning. But just got to tell another story. Rob's probably told some of the stories that come from the Yukon, and then he'll have some Norse stories after he's been here for a while. But something that just happened up there a few years ago, maybe a couple of years ago in the Yukon, is First Nations guy. He's a Tlingit First Nations guy in a little town in the Yukon. And he was part of a family, and just a family that just had a bad name in the Yukon, and he himself was becoming a shaman. He was studying witchcraft. He was going to be a shaman. Hated white people. And basically just kind of in a dark place. And he decided he was going to go down with a group down to Peru to study witchcraft. And he went down there with this group. And he was down there. And he told me later on, because I heard something about this, and I met him, and I said, look, I got to get you to tell me your story. You got to tell me your story about what happened. He says, the first night I was down there, he said, I was asleep. And in the middle of the night, he says, all of a sudden, this bright light came into my room. This bright presence came into the room. And of course, me as a discerning Pentecostal, I'm like, bright presence. You know, Satan himself appears as an angel of light. This could be the devil. And so I said, so the bright light came into your room. How did you feel? And he says, I felt awful. I felt horrible. I thought, oh, that's not good. We're going in the wrong direction here. I said, why did you feel awful? And he says, because I felt sinful. I felt I had sin. I had evil in me. And he says, this being, he was so pure and holy. And he said, and righteous. I thought, that's a weird word for a real non-religious First Nations guy to be using, righteous. But he says, you're so righteous. And I felt so unrighteous. I said, whoa. And I said, really? I said, what did you do? He says, I just cried out for forgiveness. I just asked him, forgive me. And he did. He forgave me. And he said, follow me. He called him by name. And he said, follow me. And he said, then he disappeared. And he said, I got up in the morning, I slept like a baby, I felt clean. I slept like a baby, got up in the morning, and I went to the people that were running this workshop. He said, one of them says, what place do you have for Jesus Christ in your teachings? They said, we have no place for Jesus Christ in our teachings. He says, that's what you're missing. And he said, I packed up my stuff, got on the plane, and came back to Poyhorse. And that was it. He says, my life has changed. He says, I'm going to do nothing except what Jesus tells me to do from now on. Now, God is doing great things. Yeah. God is moving by his spirit. I mean, when you hear stories like that, and there's more stories like that, you realize that God is sovereignly moving. God is at work. And I would really like, I don't know about you, but I would really like to get on board and get to be a part of some of that, right? And so we really need to be open to that. And so
I want to speak a little bit about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because I think that this is a subject that sometimes people are confused about, and they're confused about what Pentecostals believe. You know, we got the Pentecostal tag on the building outside, so everybody knows we're Pentecostals. When I was a kid, I was in a Pentecostal church, and they just throw beer bottles into our yard and call us Holy Rollers. You could put the sign up there, we're Holy Rollers. But people don't understand that terminology anymore. It's just Pentecostals. But people have some misunderstanding about what Pentecostals believe. But I believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is still just as needed today as it ever was in the history of the church. If there's any time that we need the fullness in our lives of the Holy Spirit at work in us and through us, it's now, today, more than ever, and in the days to come. So I'm going to do just a little bit of a Bible study here this morning, okay? Okay, I believe that, first of all, I believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not optional. I believe that it's a commandment to the Lord that you be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't believe that he wants you to go powerless. I believe that it's something for every believer. Now, none of us like to be commanded to do anything, especially in this day and age. We live in a very permissive day and age of tolerance, so nobody likes to use the words like obey. I noticed when we flew up on the Air Canada, that they got this little video that they show when you sit and get your seat and you put your seatbelt on, and they got a little video that shows you all the things that you're supposed to do, and they show this nice little music going on and settle in your seats, and then they had the little video, and so there's all this stuff going on. And then it said, and notice very carefully the instructions on the seat in front of you, and if in case of emergency, obey them. And for some reason it hit me. I thought, obey them? That's harsh. Obey them? You know, this should be optional. You know, like if there's an emergency, I should have the choice to decide whether or not I really want to, or I feel like going along with what the suggestions are on the front of the seat. I'm not even saying they're suggestions. Lord, you know, I just really believe that there's some things that Jesus is pretty adamant about. And one thing is that you be saved. Another thing, I just really believe that he wants you also to be further. He wants you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we want to obey him. If he says to do it, I want to obey him. I want to do what he says to do. I believe that where people are really full of the Holy Spirit and baptized in the Holy Spirit, that things are really happening. There's where the church is really prospering around the world, especially you hear about churches internationally around the world, and where the Holy Spirit is moving in powerful ways. There's where you see, you know, some very powerful things happening and the church prospering. Kerry Newhoff, who is kind of church growth guru here in Canada, evangelical, not Pentecostal, but he said something that I thought was very interesting about 2018, which was last year. 2018, he said that actually the churches that really grew weren't the attractional churches. The churches, now we say attractional churches meaning churches that like, come on into our church, we got good food, we got nice people, and we got great music, and you know, all the things that just attract people in. And we don't ask you to do anything or believe in anything, really, just come on in. Those attractional churches were not growing, but he said that the churches that were growing were charismatic in nature, and where people feel power and presence of God. Yeah. Feel the power and presence of God. Whoa, okay, that sounds like we're in that groove, right? Pentecostals, we can do that. We can bring into our services the power and presence of God. And I believe in that. We want that. I think it's where churches are really growing. I know my son-in-law pastors an Anglican church in Texas. And that Anglican church is a breakaway of the Episcopalian church. Now, the Episcopalian church in the United States, if you know the history of the church in the United States, Episcopalians have gone with gay ministers and gay priests and gay bishops and this type of thing. So there was a big break, a big split. And the people that split away and declared themselves to be evangelicals are they now calling themselves Anglicans. They call themselves the real Anglicans. We're not the breakaways. Those Episcopalians, they're the ones that backslid, not us. Anyway, he's part of a church there in Austin that broke away. And what happened is the Episcopalians were upset about the Anglicans leaving. So they took away their buildings. So they didn't have a building to meet in. So all of a sudden there was 500 people that were out there renting a building to meet in. And you think that that would be tough. All of a sudden, there's a whole lot of things about meeting together were really, really tough every Sunday. But instead of actually diminishing, that congregation actually flourished and grew. And then they had to have two congregations. Now, the first congregation has got a big building. My son-in-law and his congregation, they're meeting in a building and they're bursting out of that. And they're full of young people. They're full of young families. They're vibrant. They are charismatic. They do the Alpha program, if you know about that. They do that all the time. And they're just bursting at the seams. And to me, I believe that that's where God is doing stuff, is where people are filled with the Spirit and still obeying His word and following Him. Because the Holy Spirit is a Holy Spirit, and the Spirit teaches us all things about Christ and leads us into truth. We worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And I believe that God blesses that. Absolutely. And I believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is really basic to the Christian life. I believe that if you see somebody get saved, we call it getting saved. They accept Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. That they really... don't be afraid to take him to the next step and get him baptized in the Holy Spirit. I think a lot of times we're really shy about that. We say like, yeah, do we want to tell him about that other thing? I don't know, you know. Like, that might turn them off and they might be scared. They want to go to the Baptist church. They want to go someplace else because, I don't know. Like, sometimes that offends people, right? So let's not do that. Let's give them time and, you know, get them in there and get them hooked into the church first, and so that when we shock him with this baptism of the Holy Spirit thing, that he doesn't just walk out. But I believe that we really need to get him in quick. We got one young guy in our church is a Filipino guy. Rob and Amelie know him well, Ren. And he's a Ren Acapito? Yeah. And he is Ren and Jenny are wonderful Filipino leaders in our church. I don't know what we'd do without them. We just wouldn't have leadership like them. They're young, they're vibrant, they're strong in the things of God. And I was really shocked when I talked to him a few weeks ago after church. I just came up to him and his wife and I said, "Ren, it's wonderful having you here. You know, you're just a great guy and your wife and everything. It's like, and you're taking leadership. I just want to tell you, I just really appreciate you." And he said, "You know something?" He says, "I wouldn't be here, even married to my wife, if I hadn't been baptized in the Holy Spirit." I said, "What?" Like, that really shocked me. I said, "Well, what do you mean by that?" He says, "Well, you know, you had that Alpha retreat." He says, I was coming to church. I was, you know, sort of a Christian kind of thing. But he says, "What you didn't realize is that I actually, in my mind, I was thinking, I'm going to leave here sometime." And he says, "I knew, you know, that Jenny kind of liked me. And, you know, I thought, it'd be really nice to have a girl like that." But he said, "I thought, you know something, I'm going to leave here pretty soon. I'm just going to go out and in the world and I'm going to leave this Christian thing right behind." I said, "Really? I didn't know that." He says, "I went to the Alpha retreat and it was all about the Holy Spirit." And he says, "And I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and I spoke in tongues." And he says, "It just lit me up." Now, the thing is that I was there and I saw him and he got baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues, but like he wasn't jumping all over the place and swinging off the chandeliers and rolling on the floor or anything. Like there wasn't anything really dynamic or fiery about his experience, but inside of him, something really was going on, something of power and something was changing and it transformed him. And he said, "When I came out of that retreat," he says, "I came out of there determined to live for Jesus, and I looked at this girl, and I'm going to marry her." I said, "That's fantastic. You know, if girls, if you're here and you got a guy that's kind of,
Well, I don't know. You know, get him baptized in the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And he'll be a committed guy. This is no more of this kind of, you know, spineless dude that shows up at church once in a while. You want a guy that's on fire for Jesus. You know, and he'll be a good husband too. Absolutely. So that's just, I just want to say, to me, that just proved to me that it's a basic. Jesus said this in Matthew 24, verse 42. He said, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So Jesus gives his orders. Stay in the city till you be endued with power from on high. And these are Jesus' orders. And I believe that the fullness and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not necessary for you to get into heaven, but it's for power for service. If you want to really serve God, if you really want to live for God in power, not in your own strength, but you want to live in power, I believe that you need the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why would you want any less than everything that God has got for you? The same guy, the First Nations guy I was telling you about from that came back from Peru, he showed up at our church one Sunday, and I saw him sitting there. And just before the service started, I went over there and said, hey, Doug, what you doing? You've come in the town for the Sunday? He says, yeah. He says, but I got to ask you a question. I said, what is it? He said, you Christians don't all get along, do you? I said, wow, you know, new Christians find out real quick that we don't all get along. That's good. You're growing, you know, maturing in the things of God, learning the basics that all Christians don't get along. And he said, yeah, and I know that, you know, sometimes you don't believe what the other people believe. And I said, Doug, he said, I said, look, I don't want to go there. I'm just going to pray. Anybody I don't agree with, I'm just going to pray for, okay, Doug? He says, he said, can I ask you something? He says, is it like this? And he pulled out his cell phone and he said, look, he says, I got a cell phone. And he said, some people buy a cell phone and all they want to do is just make phone calls. It's just basic. You know, they just make a phone call on it. But he says, this thing has got all kinds of other apps and things that it can do. And he says, I'm the kind of person, I like it all. He says, is it in the Christian life, is it kind of like that too? Whoa! I said, man, you're not even asking a question, really. You're observing something that I think God has shown you. Like, you know, do you want it all? Do you want everything that God has for you? I do. I want it all. And when Christ comes into my life, I want everything he's got for me. Absolutely. Now, I believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is very important also for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to operate in our lives and also for discernment. I believe that it's very important. We live in a world right now where if there's anything we need is discernment. We need discernment. And so, because without the Holy Spirit transforming our thinking and our perception of things, it's very easy for us to be deceived by things. We live in a world that's very deceptive world, fake news, fake everything. You get to the point where you don't know what to believe. And when it comes to spiritual things, you wonder what to believe and who to believe. And so we need that voice of the Holy Spirit within us that gives us a sense of this is right, this is true. And that's the Holy Spirit's voice, not our voice, but the Holy Spirit showing us what is true and what is right. We are about to start another series in our adult Bible class called Prospering in Babylon. Now, it's a teaching off of video series from some guy down in the States. But I just saw the title of it, and I thought, now that is what we as Spirit-filled believers need to be, is those that prosper in Babylon. We live in a culture right now. The dominant culture in this country of Canada is quite, we're discovering to be quite anti-Christ and against our values as Christians. And so there's a lot of deception that's going on there. And it's very discouraging if you say, I want to be an on-fire Christian and I want to raise my children up to serve God. You find it like, how am I going to do? You know,
if I could just survive and get to heaven, that's all that God could surely expect of me, is that for me to get to heaven, maybe I can get my wife and kids there too. You know, if I could just do that, if I could just survive through. But you know something? I believe that God's will for us is to prosper in Babylon, is to prosper, is for us to be overcomers, because that spirit, the Holy Spirit that is within us, is an overcoming spirit. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so the God's will isn't for us just to survive. God's will isn't for us just to get through and then squeak into heaven. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I made it without losing my salvation. He wants us to prosper and to overcome and be people of power and faith. And so that we overcome all the hatred and the rage that's being expressed on social media and so on. We overcome it with love, the love of God and the power of God, and the Spirit of God at work in us. Now, when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want to talk about it in a doctrinal sense, get into a little bit of doctrine, because I think that sometimes there's been some confusion about the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the lines of misconceptions that people have about what the Scripture says, and it comes from maybe people getting too excited about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and just, you know, saying all kinds of crazy, wild, and wonderful things. I mean, I was raised as a Pentecostal kid. My dad is a Pentecostal pastor. Well, he was. He's passed away now, but he was all of my life. Since I was a kid, I was raised in my diapers were changed in a Pentecostal church. And I went to Pentecostal camps all my life and so on. And so I was around lots of Pentecostal stuff and people getting baptized in the Holy Spirit and lots of Holy Ghost stuff going on. And pretty exciting stuff. But, you know, when people get praying for people to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, sometimes they get a little bit overzealous and there's some crazy things that go on. And you know, and I still love it. You know, I it doesn't scare me off. But there's you know, I've fallen victim to some great people wanting to pray me through to the Holy Ghost when I was a kid, you know, and had people, you know, I remember one time in a prayer meeting, about five guys on me. And one guy had a hold of the back of my head, and he was shaking it like this. And he was shaking. He says, "You can get it, brother. You can get it, brother. You can get it, brother." And another guy had my jaw. And he actually had my jaw, and he's moved my jaw. And he says, turn it loose, brother." And I was surprised. The only thing they needed to do was start grabbing my tongue and start pulling my tongue and see, get me to speak in tongues. But, I mean, they were shaking and pat me and Holy Ghost massage, and after about 45 minutes, I really prayed fervently and sincerely, and I said, "Jesus, I just pray you just give me a break." And I believe the Holy Spirit spoke into my heart and said, "Tell him you have to go to the washroom." And that was my way. I got set free. I got to go to the washroom real bad. And it, all of a sudden they melted away and I got out of there and I never went back. And, you know, I still got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it wasn't in that particular specific prayer meeting. But, you know, people mean well, but sometimes they can say things. And then how many people have I run into that say, "Oh, I don't want anything to do with those charismatics or those Pentecostals because they are such flakes." And yeah, you know, some of us actually are flakes. You know, believe and say crazy things. I think that we need to be sound in our doctrine. Most of us, I think that we're going to, when you get the Holy Spirit moving in you, you do different things. And I'm not going to be the judge of what happened. I mean, if the Holy Spirit makes you do the funky chicken on the floor every day, that's fine. I'm not going to judge that. But I haven't had that. But that may be your experience. And if it's good for you, that's great. But we need to believe the right stuff. I still believe that. So let's take a look at some of the doctrines of the Holy Spirit. I know I had a conversation with a Baptist pastor in Whitehorse a couple of weeks ago, and he said he was talking to me about he was going up to do something at a United Pentecostal church, and he said you probably go up there or whatever, and I said, "No, I don't," and he said, "You don't?" I said, "No, I said actually." Like the classical Pentecostals, we actually kind of believe that the United Pentecostals are kind of like a cult. He says, "Really?" And I said, "Well, yeah." I said, you know, they believe that they don't believe in the Trinity, and they believe that you have to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues or you're not saved. He says, you believe that? I said, I do not. And anyway, I said, can I give you a little lesson in doctrine? And after I was finished, he said, whoa. He said, I'm really glad we had this conversation. We need to talk some more about this. He says, you actually talk like fairly balanced. I said, well, I might talk like I'm balanced. I might not act like I'm balanced to stick around long enough. But first of all, that I believe that soundly we have a good sound scriptural doctrine for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and our belief in the Holy Spirit. First of all, it rests on the Trinity. The Trinity. We believe in the Trinity. We believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what that translates to simply put, is that one substance, three persons. You cannot divide them in substance. They are one. When you have one, you have three. But they are three persons. Now, that's very difficult to understand, but it's definitely very scriptural. We believe in the Trinity. And the Holy Spirit is the indweller. The Holy Spirit is he who dwells within you as a believer. But also he is a person. And that's very important that you know that the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not a substance. And the Holy Spirit is not a force. Because many times we think of the Holy Spirit as like we hear people talking about the Holy Spirit when it moved in the service. And that's, no. It didn't move in the service. If there was a move of the Holy Spirit in the service, he moved. He, the Holy Spirit, moved amongst us. And he is a person. And that's very important because he, the Holy Spirit, can be grieved. And he, the Holy Spirit, can be resisted. Just in the sense, in a relationship with a person, you can get that. You can say, I don't want to talk to you much anymore. I want to keep you over there. And you can do that with the person of the Holy Spirit. You can say, well, I want you. I don't want to be around you anymore. The Holy Spirit can be grieved and he can be resisted, but he is a person. Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit. And he said, he, the Holy Spirit. In John 14, 15, 16, we see Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit coming. And he said, when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will lead you into all truth and he will indwell you. Talks about him, he, the Holy Spirit. And that pronoun, it's a personal pronoun, he, the Holy Spirit. And so he is a person. And the Holy Spirit is God in you. That's his role, you might say, is that he is the indweller. He indwells you. And he is the presence of Christ in you. You hear people talking about Jesus in me. That's true. Jesus is in you as a believer because the Holy Spirit indwells. And when you have the Holy Spirit, you have Jesus because you have the substance, you have all of God. You have the fullness of God. Now, at salvation, I believe that you're born again of the Holy Spirit. And that's really important that we see salvation as a spiritual thing. And it's not just an intellectual ascent. And I've met so many people that say that I decided to become a Christian. I worry about sometimes that language when I hear somebody talking as if they made a decision. They'll say, well, I really thought about it. I researched it. And I made a decision to become a Christian. Well, it can't be like that. That's just an intellectual thing. That's something that you do in your head. But it's got to be something that's that happens in your heart and in your spirit. And you're a born-again Christian. The Spirit makes you alive. And you come alive. We're all born with a human spirit. We're not born with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God within us. I know that we hear people talking that way, and there's books out these days that talk about we all have God within us. No, you don't. God has breathed into you the breath of life so that you're alive as a human being and you can walk around, but you're spiritually dead until the Holy Spirit comes within you and you become alive. In Ephesians chapter 2, let's take a look at that. Ephesians chapter 2. We just want to take a quick look at that. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions and sin. So, you're dead in sin. You're spiritually dead. But then the Spirit of God comes within you, the Holy Spirit comes within you, and you become alive. Alive in Christ. And that's the whole difference between being a religious person and being a true born-again believer. And that's a real revelation that everybody has to really get if you're going to experience Jesus in you, really, in reality, is that I'm born again. You know, we hear people talk about, like, I had this experience with Jesus. He just came in, and all of a sudden everything came alive. I came and I walked outside. The grass was greener. The sky was bluer. Everybody looked pretty. And I just want to hug everybody. And yeah, you got it then. That sounds like the real thing. And that's the way the Spirit of God is. When he comes within us. John 14, verse 23 says, we will make our home with him. That speaks of the Trinity. We will make our home with him. Jesus is talking. And he says, if you believe in him and you obey his commands, we will come into him. We will make our home with him. So the Trinity comes and lives within you. Colossians 2 verse 9 says, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So we see the fullness of God. We see the Trinity again. Is that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in within you and makes your spirit alive. We have God living within us. And Corinthians 6 verse 16 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16 says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. That was the whole key of Acts chapter 2, where we see the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon all those that were in the upper room, and we see that all of a sudden there was tongues of fire on their heads. Now, in the Old Testament, you see that in the on the temple as, or the tabernacle, as it went out through, they went through the wilderness, you see that the fire rested over the tabernacle, which represented that the presence of God was there in that tabernacle. In the New Testament, the tongues of fire rested over people, individual people, over their heads. It meant that the presence of God was in those temples, new temples, not the old tabernacles, not buildings anymore. And so this is a great building here, this church, but you know, that the presence of God isn't on this building. The presence of God is on the people, the temples that are in the building. And that's where the Holy Spirit dwells. And so that's where the excitement dwells, is in the presence of God is alive in you. So, you know, we come into a church and we say, I just sense the presence of God in here today. Well, that's good. But, you know, you should actually be coming in and saying, the presence of God is in me. I'm bringing it in today. The presence of God is in you. And boy, we got a lot of people with the presence of God in here this morning. And so we're really going to have a cooking good time, because with the presence of God so strong in every one of us, and we're so aware of that, we're going to have the Holy Spirit move in a great way. I think that we should see it that way. Now, our relationship with God, because of that, is more than just a renewed relationship like Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they walked and they talked with God. That was wonderful. You get to walk and talk with God. And you say, hey, God, how's it doing? Like, nice flowers, eh? And let's go pet the lion. We get this idea that after the fall, that was all lost. And so that when you become a Christian, you get that back again. So you just be able to walk around hand in hand with God, have great relationship with him. Well, the fantastic thing is it's more than that. Is that you're not going to walk around hand in hand with God. God is actually coming inside you to dwell within you. Whoa. Oh, man. That is a far more powerful relationship than winning back that which Adam and Eve lost in the garden. So, at salvation, I believe that at salvation, when you're born again, you receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells within you. Romans 8 and verse 9 says, if you have not the Spirit, you're not of Christ. And so when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit indwells you. And so he's a person. He's not like gasoline. And so it's not like, you know, we talk about, well, we were at a great service the other night, and we just got full of the Holy Ghost. We just got full. by Wednesday, kind of, I need to go get filled again because it kind of petered out. Well, you're talking about the Holy Spirit like he is gasoline, or you something like you ran out of gas. You ever felt like that? Like you ran out of gas by Wednesday? Or even mostly run out of gas by Monday morning. Get out of bed, go to work. I'm running out of gas. I want to go back to church. Get some more of the Holy Spirit in me. It's not like that. The Holy Spirit is still within you. And he indwells you. He is a person. He is a person. You can't go fill up and run out. And it's like a person visiting your house. Now, when you have a person come visiting your house, you don't have his hand comes in today, and then we get his leg tomorrow, and then we get the rest of his body a couple months later. And so the Holy Spirit is not like that either. You don't, at salvation, just get a piece of him, and then we get more of the Holy Spirit when we get Holy Spirit baptized. I believe it's more like this, is that the Holy Spirit comes to your house, and you invite him in, salvation. The Holy Spirit comes into your house. Now, he's in your house. That's wonderful. But, say, really glad to have you in my house, Holy Spirit. But, stay out of the bedroom. Okay? That's, close the door, lock the door there. That's off bounds. Oh, and the kitchen too. Oh, and the living room where the TV is and stuff. We'll keep you away from that too. And our, you know, where we keep all the DVDs and stuff. We just keep you away from that. You can stay. We'll lock you in a closet. You know. But the Holy Spirit's in your house. But he doesn't have access to the rest of your house. Because you haven't allowed him to have access to the rest of your house. So this is the way it works. It's not, the question is not how much of the Holy Spirit you have. But the question is how much of you does the Holy Spirit have? How much of you does the Holy Spirit have? So when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, boom, it pops. And you let him have the whole thing. And bang, there's the experience of him not just being in your spirit, but all of a sudden he takes your emotions and he takes your physical body. Boom. And so many times it's like my friend Ren back there, who was at the Alpha, and all of a sudden he's sitting there and he's got the Holy Spirit inside him, but he's stifled the Holy Spirit, he's resisted the Holy Spirit, and he's in his mind, he's thinking thoughts of leaving, but then he made a decision that I am going to allow the Holy Spirit to have all of me, and the Holy Spirit took him, took all of him, and he took his emotions and he took his physical body, and all of a sudden then he's got this experience in the Holy Spirit, because he allowed the Holy Spirit to have all of him. And I really believe that's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about. Is that when you open up your whole house to the Holy Spirit. And you get this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptism in the Greek comes from a word, baptizo, which means to plunge, to drench, to overwhelm. To plunge, to drench, and to overwhelm. And so I believe that you have at salvation the Holy Spirit within you, but I believe that when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, that there's a breakthrough, the dam is broken, and you are overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit, and you're drenched, and you're immersed. You know, I noticed that you've got a baptismal tank here, right? And you want to get the people, when you water baptize people, you dump them right down and get them all wet, right? I remember Victoria meant I water baptized when I lived in back in Victoria. I water baptized this guy, and except for the top of his head, the tip of his head, and I thought, that's not good. Like, that could mean something. So I pushed him down a little bit further. He's got to be fully immersed, you know? And I don't like the sprinkling thing either. The sprinkling thing just seems like, you know, twinkle, sprinkle. You know, like I'm going to be a kind of twinkle, sprinkle Christian. You know, I like the full meal deal Christian. I like get down, get wet. That's right. And you're just about drowning. You're just like, it's like waterboarding. You know, you come out of there and you're whoa, I'm so glad to be alive. Out of this lake or whatever it's in. And it's just an overwhelming thing. And we talk about Spirit-filled Christians. Well, I believe that we need to have the Holy Spirit fill all of us, and so that we're Spirit-spilled Christians, that it's spilling out of us, so that we're so filled. You know, you can imagine, like, people who are Christians but not baptized in the Holy Spirit. They have the Holy Spirit inside them, but the Holy Spirit is constricted. And many times as Pentecostals, I met many Pentecostals. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues 10 years ago. And man, they are so mean now. And they need a refilling. Paul says, he says, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. We gotta allow the Holy Spirit to fill us every day. This is something every day. It's just like, you can have me today. You can have all of me, Holy Spirit, today. I want you to fill me, every part of me. And that's, you know, where the speaking in tongues comes in too. It's just that speaking in tongues, I think, is one of the most controversial things. It's like, I've met so many people who say, well, I don't mind being baptized in the Holy Spirit, but I don't want to speak in tongues. That's funny. That's kind of weird, you know, like, and I don't understand that when I'm doing it. It sounds weird. You're like, I don't want to do that. But you know something? There's something to that, the tongue. James chapter 3 says that the tongue is the most unruly member of the body. And don't look around you. But there are people who really need to have their tongues baptized in the Holy Spirit. And really, for the Holy Spirit to take over their tongues, I was thinking the other day of this First Nations guy that I know up in Atlin, BC, and it was true because I'd known him for years, and he said, you know, the first thing that really I noticed about becoming a born again Christian is, he says, I stopped swearing. I just didn't swear anymore. He says, I just kind of pinched myself because I don't swear anymore. I don't even want to swear anymore. It just doesn't come naturally. It used to come naturally, swearing. You know, man, I tell you, we need to let the Holy Spirit take our tongues. And we need to surrender that part to Him too. And if He chooses to have you speak in Swahili, or whatever it is, the world doesn't have any problem with speaking. They say, oh, sorry for my French. You know, and that ain't French. I know. You should tell them that. That ain't French. That's devil's tongues. Yeah, you might get a reaction. But I just really believe that the Holy Spirit wants to take every part of us in the tongue as well. And that we should be never have that attitude that there's anything that we'll hold back. And let the Lord just take it all and fill us and drench us and overwhelm us. You shall receive power, Acts 1, verse 8, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And I believe that this is the key for the church to overcome the world today and not be intimidated and fearful. We're so fearful of the culture around us. I believe that we need to be so full of the Holy Spirit that we are breaking out with God's love. We are breaking out with God's power. And we're breaking out with His Spirit that's just is setting them back. And so they're just what are those people got? You know, that's really hard to fight. And it's all part of us. The key for us to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to yield. We just need to yield. You don't work for it. I've seen many people go out and they say, I've got to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to speak in tongues and that. And they work so hard for it. You know, you just need to stop and yield. Let go. Just let Him have you. You just need to yield to the Holy Spirit. And we just need to do that. Jesus said in John 16, He said, it's good for you that I'm going away. It's good for you that I'm going away so that the Holy Spirit may come. And so it was a good thing that Jesus left this world in His physical body, because when He left, He came in the presence of the Holy Spirit into individual believers. And on the day of Pentecost, the church was born because Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, came into individual people and they became like Jesus. And they went out. And the poor Pharisees They killed one guy. They hung him on a cross. We've killed him. No more problems. And all of a sudden, out of this upper room, break forth. It was just like, have you ever tried to kill a willow? You cut down a willow, and later on that spring, there's 50 fresh green sprouts coming stronger than the other ones before. And say, man, that was a mistake. Well, it was a mistake because all of a sudden out of that upper room came all these little Jesuses all over the place. Jesus, 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 all over the place. And that's the way it is with the power of the Holy Spirit and the fullness of the Holy Spirit is that Jesus in us going out into the world around us. And I believe that we just need to receive the Holy Spirit. We need to receive. We need to yield and allow him to work in our lives. And believers, if you're a believer here today, we need more, right? I just believe that we need more, and I want more. And I believe that just we always close the service right now. Can we just bow our heads? And Lord, I just pray, first of all, I just pray for anybody here that is not a born-again believer, doesn't know what it is they, maybe they believe in God. Maybe they even believe Jesus is okay, but they've never had that born again life of the Spirit come in them and felt that transformation, and they want that. You want that. Let me tell you that God knew you're going to be here this morning, and he knows your name. He knows you. He knows you, and he's at work in your life, and he's speaking to you, and he wants all of you. He doesn't want just a little bit of you. He wants all of you. And for every believer here too, he knows how maybe afraid you've been of things happening around you in this world and in our community. Or maybe you've been angry. But he wants to transform you with the Holy Spirit filling you so that you go out and you don't go out in anger, you go out in love and you go out in power. And you're not intimidated. You're not afraid because the power of God is working within you, and you'll be bold. You'll be bold as you speak now to your friends. You'll be bold as you go to work this week because the Holy Spirit has filled all of you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.